May the words of my mouth, meditations of all our hearts, always be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our salvation. Amen. Today is a celebration of our feast of title, the reign of Christ. And it is a unique Sunday in that the church's two main feasts, Easter and Christmas, crucifixion, resurrection on the one hand, and incarnation on the other, come in close connection. The one who was brought before Pilate in Jerusalem is the same one born in a black backwater shelter surrounded by animals. The one who was hailed by angels and shepherds and magi is the same one who was betrayed, abandoned, and left to die in shame. Two hymns, Silent Night and O Sacred Head Surrounded, come together today and weave an entirely new song for us. To paraphrase the womanist theologian Dolores Williams, the kingship of Christ can only be understood through the dissonance and harmony. King of Kings on the one hand, as if sung by a beautiful choir, and Mary's boy child on the other, as if whispered by a single singer, an elderly woman standing alone. These two songs, William contends, sung back and forth in a call and response, is the American Black Church doing theology. Each song needs the other for the whole truth to shine through. In today's gospel story, we come face to face with two opposing ideas of kingship. On the one hand, Pilate, the representative of the Roman Empire, and on the other, Jesus. In this meeting, we are shown the dynamics of each kingdom. A detachment of soldiers, police, and religious leaders have arrested Jesus. They have taken him to Caiaphas, the high priest, and now taken him to Pilate's headquarters for interrogation in the hope that Pilate will sentence him to death. The actual charge is unclear, but with Pilate's first question, "Are you the king of the Jews?" suggests that Jesus' opponents may have presented him to Pilate as a self-proclaimed king, and therefore a disturber of the empire's peace. There is another way to look at the story. What if Pilate is asking the question for his own reasons? He may have heard about Jesus being called king of the Jews, not from Jesus' opponents, but rather the popular rumors, the crowds that are following him and surrounding him day after day, and their strong desire to make him their king. After all, Pilate, in both John's gospel and the historical records, is a cruel tyrant, and he may see in this person brought before him an opportunity to mock and intimidate Jews by executing the man some are calling the Jewish king. So he could be asking, "They are calling you a king. Is that true?" Sometimes we see Pilate as a relatively reasonable figure, reluctantly complying with the demands of the religious leaders, finding no charge against Jesus, actually washing his hands of all responsibility. But there are several things in the story that contradict this image of Pilate. For example, if Pilate is reluctantly complying with the demands of others, why does he dress and publicly display Jesus in a purple robe and a crown of thorns? A barbaric, sarcastic sneer at the kingship claimed against Jesus. And why does he insist on the inscription on the cross, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews"? From the way that history describes Pilate, it is entirely possible that he is mocking not only Jesus, but everyone who has hope that Jesus is the one who will free them from the tyranny of Rome. In short, in Jesus, Pilate sees an opportunity to humiliate his Jewish subjects, forcing them to crucify not only their supposed king, but also the very idea of Jewish kingship in an imperial Rome, and any idea of freedom from Roman authority. The inscription effectively says, "Behold, this is what happens to your kings." Thus Pilate mocks and terrorizes the people, pushing them to declare, "We have no king but the emperor." And so Jesus' counterpart in this passage is less a reasonable, ambivalent ruler and more a cruel, contemptuous bully. And Jesus will have none of it. Jesus sidesteps Pilate's opening question and throughout the exchange declines to claim the title of king. Jesus does refer to my kingdom, but when Pilate seizes on this phrase, Jesus explicitly rejects the title. "You say I am king. Those aren't my words," Jesus says. "On the contrary, I am a witness born to testify to the truth." And at this, Pilate scoffs, his lips dripping with contempt. What is truth? On the eve of Advent and Christmas, the season of waiting and anticipating the coming child of God who arrives in the most humble, vulnerable circumstances, a woman whispering Mary's boy child, this week draws the creative tension tight. The humble baby born in the manger is none other than the Almighty God, a choir singing King of Kings. And yet this kingship is something new. Far from the model of the contemptuous tyranny embodied by Pilate, Jesus' kingdom is not from this world, which is to say, not from the world of violence, greed, and contempt, but rather from God's world of grace, mercy, peace, and justice. Indeed, we have seen through this past year, as we read the Gospel of Mark, that this is a kingdom of servanthood and neighborhood, of serving all and loving our neighbors as ourselves. What Jesus has in mind is in sharp contrast to Pilate and the kingdom that he represents. Jesus' kingdom is not an empire, but rather a community of witnesses, testifying with words and deeds to the truth of God's love. Is Christ the king? In a sense, the answer is yes, insofar as not earthly royalty, no earthly power is higher than the God of love, justice, and grace. And from this angle, the God of love is the ultimate sovereign, the King of Kings. But at the same time, in another sense, the answer is no. Insofar as Jesus clearly declines to take up the royal scepter, both in this critical story that we are faced with today, and at the outset of John's Gospel, when the crowds want to make him and take him by force and make them their king. Today, we come face to face with the tensions of our faith. How a child born in a manger, whom angels sing about, shepherds and magi come to adore, a child full of hope and possibility, a child that we remember when we sing Silent Night, is the same person who stands before Pilate, condemned to be crucified because of his message of a new kingdom, not of this world, but of God's creation. The man we sing about on Good Friday in the words, "O Sacred Head Surrounded." tension of God's unconditional love and the world's abuse of power coming together. And we are being reminded today that we are called to be citizens of God's kingdom, a kingdom of grace, mercy, justice, and love. Amen.